The following program is a presentation of the FlyPod New Media Network, www.theflypod.com.
Hello, and welcome to the Did You Know Show. I am your host, Alex Parnuk, and together we'll attempt to resolve some of the most complex problems on the planet, but in a very common sense sort of way, something that seems to be sorely missing in this age of media information overload. In doing this show, one would ask, why have I committed myself to this task? The plain and simple answer is, I want to get information to you that seems to be missing and not provided in the old media. So join me in the show through your interaction by providing comments, suggestions, and if necessary, criticism when you don't agree. You can contact me at shout@theflypod.com. Welcome back to my continuing series on the workings and process of the United States government and specifically the executive branch. Today's show begins a new series on the lesser known executive entities of the federal government. We start with a little-known unit called the Administrative Conference of the United States, more commonly referred to in government circles as ACUS. This entity, referred to as an independent agency within the confines of the executive branch of government. It came into existence over 50 years ago when it was created, or as some might say, crafted by the United States Congress as the Administrative Conference Act of 1964, or Public Law 88-499. This independent agency is not part of any other government department, but falls under the direct jurisdiction of the executive branch. Most refer to it as ACUS, and for the sake of brevity, I will also refer to it as such. Now, the legislation that created this agency put together the workings of two previous administrative conferences under the Kennedy and Eisenhower administrations. The 1964 Act codified, or in layman's terms, put into law the structure of the agency or conference and its mission. From its own words, I quote, "Its purpose is to promote improvements in the efficiency, adequacy, and fairness of the procedures by which the federal agencies conduct regulatory programs, administer grants and benefits, and perform related government functions." From a historic point of view, this agency has led an on-again, off-again life. In 1995, this agency lost its funding, and you would have thought ceased operations. But by hook or by crook, ACUS continued on, even after the funding ceased. But due to the fact that the actual law was not repealed and Congress continued on with reauthorizations of its activities in 2004 and 2008. And then the conference was reestablished in March of 2010 and is now back in business. The who as to this ACUS, or Administrative Conference of the United States, is somewhat convoluted. Its members, of which there are several categories, consist of a chairman, along with nine other members of a council, all presidential appointees. The chairman, however, is the only full-time member of the council and with a staff of approximately 15. This small full-time staff of 15 is occupied by lawyers, paralegals, researchers, and technical personnel. The council consists of a board of directors, and they also are appointed by the president for a three-year term. Five members of this 10-person board are members of other government agencies, and the rest are from outside the government. Next, there is an assembly, and depending on where one looks for info on the administrative conference, one finds that a figure of 110 members arises as to the actual number of persons working in this small organ of the executive branch. Of that figure, 50 persons are government employees, and I should say very high department-level employees, and 40 are public members, including the chairman and the primary counsel itself. In doing this podcast, I then went to several different sites and did my own headcount and came up with a total of 175 personnel, of which 46 were government employees in other agencies tasked with membership in ACUS, and 39 public members. Then I found 29 senior fellows providing assistance and information, 30 liaison representatives, and 3 special counsels along with a dozen or so paid staff members. It should be noted that the council members are assembly members and have votes, but the liaison representatives, special counsels, and senior fellows are non-voting members. But if traveling to do ACUS stuff, they receive compensation as directed by law. One should note that the majority of these persons are not paid by the government, but let me state here from the original Act in Section C. Members of the conference, except the chairman, are not entitled to pay for service. Members appointed from outside the federal government are entitled to travel expenses, including per diem, instead of subsistence, as authorized by Section 5703 of this title for individuals serving without pay. Folks, it still costs us money since this main body meets at least twice a year. Nice trip to D.C., and don't forget the standing committees when meeting are also paid a per diem and travel expenses, and these aren't cheap in Washington, D.C. today. So you ask, what is the business of the Administrative Conference? What does it do? Well, ACUS produces reports. I guess you could sort of call it like a think tank. This from an essay in the Michigan Journal of Environmental Administrative Law by a former chairman of ACUS. This statement is meaningful in understanding what ACUS does. I quote, "The conference studies the efficiency, adequacy, and fairness of the administrative procedure used by administrative personnel in carrying out administrative programs," close quote. Or put it more simply, ACUS examine what the parts and pieces of government involve themselves with and how to improve those processes. They do this by having conferences twice yearly wherein the 101 members of this or their surrogates convene and mull over specific issues or projects that have been developed or proposed by either members of ACUS or congressional committees relating to the governmental slash administrative operations, specifically the process and procedure. On the official site, it was reported that over 200 recommendations or statements have been written and proposed for changes and that from 1964 to 1995, only 17 such statements have been adopted by the conference. Within one of the articles, I found that from this inception in 1964 till its not quite demise in 1995, ACUS produced 26 studies on a variety of governmental agency subjects, with a preponderance of which were subjects relating to the EPA or Environmental Protection Agency. As an aside, I wonder what this ACUS would say about the process and procedures recently initiated by the executive branch in changing law and timelines without legislative action, such has been done to the Affordable Care Act. Moving on, within the main body, there are committees established wherein ideas or projects having been worked out into the form of a proposal are then put to the general body, the conference, and they are discussed and either passed on as recommendations or suggestions to the various governmental entities. Now, the model that the Administrative Conference uses is an eightfold process in that ideas are gathered, then an idea is selected, then it is approved by the Council of Ten. Researchers are picked, committee considers the idea. This goes back to the council, considered by the full conference when they have this twice yearly meeting, and then decided whether to be implemented or not. Now, here's the quirk in all of this meandering into the process and procedure of ACUS. There is no guarantee that these recommendations or proposals will get acted upon by the agencies themselves. As far as I can tell, there is no statutory authority to mandate an implementation of these proposals. So that's like telling someone he has a low tire or a nail embedded, but he just keeps rolling along down the highway till he gets a flat. And if he rolls along too far, not only has a flat, but he also probably ruins the wheel. Sort of what our government is doing at this time, just rolling along with a low tire, the economy, and a nail embedded, letting the air out, but not being pulled out, like our border policy. And nothing happens, even when the border is overrun with a solution proposed of sending more attorneys hired to represent those illegal entrants. Folks, our government is running on the rims right now with no solution in sight. Now, this organization, ACUS, has an advisory body also, which meets twice yearly, at which time the discussions and decisions are made as to relevant projects and recommendations to be made. Within the body of the conference is to be found six standing committees. Now, from ACUS's own website, the following committees and what they do. Adjudication, they examine procedural issues relating to how agencies handle cases that come before them, including issues arising in programs that handle very large caseloads. Two would be administration and management. They consider issues that affect the efficiency and fairness of agencies' operations, including their structure, accountability, and management of personnel, records, and other resources. Third is collaborative governance. This is concerned with collaborative techniques that agencies use to implement their programs. This area includes activities that build on the conference's extensive history of developing consensual processes, such as negotiating rulemaking and alternative means of dispute resolution, as well as appropriate use of new communications media in federal programs. Judicial review addresses statutory and case law concerning court review administrative actions. It also may examine those aspects of the administrative procedure that affect the effectiveness or availability of judicial review. Number 5 is regulation studies procedures applicable to the control of private economic activity, including ways to reduce costs and increase effectiveness of agency programs. And then last is rulemaking. Considers the procedures that agency use to promulgate, modify, or rescind regulations. To the cost of this little organization. From 2012 congressional budget justification, this little-known independent agency eats up over $3.5 million. Not much in the big scheme of things, but still over $3.5 million of our tax or borrowed dollars. But what's funny is that $1.6 million of that is in salaries and benefits. That's over $100,000 each for 16 full-time employees. Not a bad paycheck for sit-down work, as I call it. In conclusion, I would ask, do you really believe that government today is more efficient with adequacy or fairness in its procedures by which federal agencies conduct regulatory programs, administer grants and benefits, or perform related governmental functions? I merely need to point you to the internet and stories of what has been going on within the Veterans Administration, the IRS, or the Justice Department. I do believe that government, and especially the executive branch, can do much better in solving our problems as to the necessary activities of government. But at the present time, and without your involvement, it won't. The solution does not lie in growing more government and merely providing jobs. Jobs for those who are the same mind as the administration or have been involved or helpful in the political process or just been hanging around the halls of government waiting for another appointment. This type of government does not solve or provide solutions to our most pressing problems of too much government intruding into the personal and business lives of the American constituency. I hope you are now more familiar with yet another federal executive entity and how it fits in the scheme of government. Well, until next time in our next Did You Know show, keep your powder dry and your silver coins in your pocket.